City Council members and Mayor Hills. My name is Norm Rich, and I'm the general manager of the Multnomah Athletic Club. I have served at the MAC as its general manager for nearly 8 years. Early in my service to MAC, it became blatantly obvious that the club was short of off-street parking, and we created unnecessary stress on our members and neighbors 9 months out of the year. Members and guests circled the neighborhood when the garage was full, looking for any open space to park, inconveniencing neighbors who had neither driveways nor garage parking. In addition, while the Timbers created a great attraction for the neighborhood, the large number of fans, ardent fans, has also put pressure on the parking around our neighborhood. As general manager, member satisfaction is my top priority. The biggest complaint that our members continually express is a lack of parking both in the parking structures and around our neighborhood. I have always been clear with our neighbors that solving the parking deficit was the top of my list of goals, and that solving parking needed to and could benefit our members and our neighborhood. Rather than just talking about parking, our parking problem, our board of directors and management went looking for a long-term solution to this chronic problem. We believe the zoning change before you allows for a meaningful, long-lasting resolution to the parking problems for the club and throughout the neighborhood. As you know from your own city satisfaction surveys, context is important. Our club satisfaction in most categories is in the mid-90% range. Members make us very proud. So when our survey feedback for parking satisfaction is at 70%, this is a significant finding that fails to meet our member satisfaction standards. In addition, MAC leadership and I frequently attend neighborhood meetings, and we have consistently heard neighbor concerns about the availability of on-street parking, as well as the congestion that comes from people circling the blocks, making pedestrian movement less than enjoyable. The MAC is investing in a long-term solution by partnering with Mill Creek Development to address both neighborhood and MAC needs. 225 below-ground parking spaces for MAC use will be added to the residential project out of sight of our neighbors and reducing the pressure on on-street parking significantly. Our 16 overnight guest rooms hides the parking structure and places eyes on the street as requested by neighbors. Over the past year, Sam Rodriguez of Mill Creek and I have met over 25 times with neighbors in many formats, including one-on-one, two-on-ones, Goose Hollow Foothill monthly meetings, and larger get-togethers. We also included meetings between the MAC board and neighbor members and sent a trustee to Goose Hollow Foothill meetings during the active application. Out of these meetings, the MAC and Mill Creek agreed to create an expensive parking tunnel between our structures to mitigate concerns from neighbors about too much traffic, noise, and garage opening directly facing the legends. Let me close by saying that I believe that MAC has gone above and beyond to create a strong relationship with Mill Creek, meaningful and respectful dialogue with neighbors, and a project that lives up to the City of Portland's challenging requirements for a rezone while accomplishing the city's goals for residential housing and adding an economic boost to our local economy. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Commissioners. My name is Len Stevens. I attended Lincoln High School. I'm a MAC member, property owner on Kings Hill, and a member of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. From 1992 to 2001, I served on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League, the last 2 years as president. I'd like to make 2 points in support of the proposed development of Block 7 by the MAC and Mill Creek. First, during my time on the board, the Goose Hollow neighborhood saw major changes, including the construction of the Legends condominium building and the MAX light rail that had the potential to threaten, but in the end, enhance the neighborhood's historical and residential character because of the active participation and input of neighbors on these projects. I support the development of Block 7 because, like these other projects, it fulfills the residential and commercial, including parking, infill goals resulting from the then consensus of the neighborhood, developers, and the Goose Hollow Foothills League. Not incidentally, I believe it fulfills the goals of TriMet's station area planning of residential infill with socioeconomic diversity. Second, It was my experience that the Multnomah Club was a vital and responsible voice for the neighborhood during these projects. It played a leading role in the mitigation of resulting traffic, parking, and construction issues, a role that led to the benefit of the neighborhood in general. There was a check and balance between the MAC management and the MAC board that prevented either from potentially overreaching into the MAC's self-interest to the detriment of the neighborhood. I believe if the MAC and Mill Creek continue to involve the neighborhood in the design and construction of Block 7 and partners with residents, businesses, and schools in mitigating the valid traffic and parking concerns of many Goose Hollow neighbors, many are here today, the Block 7 project will be a welcome development, like Legends and Light Rail, in the evolution of this unique and special urban neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you all.
The next three are Ty Miles, Ken Puckett, and Dennis Cusad, and they'll be followed by Amy Marks, Spencer Raymond, and Oscar Villar.
Welcome.
You're Oscar, right?
Good afternoon. My name is Ken Puckett. I'm the Senior Vice President of Operations for Providence Park, the Portland Timbers, and the Portland Thorns. I have been in that capacity since June of 2000, so I've seen a lot of renditions of the building, a lot of different owners of the building, and seen the neighborhood as what it is today. It boils down to one thing for me. Parking's not a problem up there because there isn't any. So for the MAC Club to make this effort, spend the money that they're spending to add extra parking for their members, will make the neighborhood safer, make the businesses more viable, and frankly, is the right thing to do.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners, I'm Ty Miles, the pastor at Zion Lutheran Church, which is located right on the corner of Southwest 18th Avenue and Salmon. First, I want to say to Amanda that our prayers and thoughts are with you and your family. We are right there at the corner of where all this action takes place, and we have been there since 1889. So we are celebrating our 125th anniversary this year. So when Zion looks at things in the neighborhood, what's going on, we have really a long view to look at. We were there before anyone in this room was born, and God willing, after all of us are gone. And so we are looking at this from a long range and feel that it is a necessary and a good thing for the area to be part. There's no question about the parking problem. And we have every reason from our experience, I've been there for 10 years as the pastor, to have great confidence in the MAC, in their planning, in their sensitivity and proposals for the area. And they have been just really an outstanding anchor in that community. Our board of directors has asked me to come and to let you know that officially they have gone on record as unopposed to this project. We would encourage you to follow it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mr. Cusack.
My name is Dennis Cusack. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to support this very important project. I live in the Goose Hollow neighborhood about three blocks from the site. In addition, I'm a longtime member of the MAC Club and was on the MAC board and its president in the mid-90s. In 2003, so about 11 years ago, my wife and I moved into the Goose Hollow neighborhood because it's one of those special neighborhoods that makes Portland unique. Its urban location, its character, its diversity, but also its proximity to one of the premier athletic clubs in this nation. Proposed development of Block 7, in my opinion, is in fact a win-win. A win for Goose Hollow neighborhood and a win for the MAC. The residential development this proposed is consistent with and in fact encouraged by the city's comprehensive plan. It's what we need as a community. Such development will and it must happen. The MAC is a vibrant part of Goose Hollow. You've heard that from many other people. It's a reason that many of us live or work there. It's been a longtime champion of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. In fact, one example in which I was involved was the critical role that the MAC played in securing and funding the Salmon Street MAC station, which has become a critical and major transportation asset in the neighborhood. MAC is and has been a great neighbor neighbor, and I think this development will make it even more so. The increased off-street parking at the MAC is also a win for the neighborhood. Living close to the MAC, I don't use the garage, even as a member. So I'm not going to benefit from that as a member. I do, however, live every day with the traffic congestion and the parking limitations that are inherent in an urban neighborhood that's so close to downtown. These conditions will be significantly improved by the added MAC parking, in my opinion. So I think this development will be good for Goose Hollow. It will be good for the MAC. I think it's a win-win. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are Amy Marks, Spencer Raymond, and we'll go with Leslie Johnson. And they'll be followed by Andrew Jansky, Marlis Miller, and Darcy Henderson.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
I can't see you and this. But. My name is Amy Tassick Marks, and in the 70s, my family bought several houses on Block 2. The Legend condominiums were built there in 1997, atop a grassy lot on the majority of Block 2 to our south. We lived through the construction. Our private and sunny backyards disappeared when Legends was built, and to this day it stands tall by itself in our neighborhood. The Legends building was allowed under the zoning at that time. Luckily, humans adjust. We adjusted. Legends folks have become good friends, neighbors, and the MAC is also a good neighbor. On Saturday, April 12th of this year, parking was tight at the MAC. I asked the attendant why it was so tight, and he said that the MAC was hosting a statewide kids' swim meet, a volleyball tournament, a charity benefit dinner for 250, and there was also a Timbers game scheduled. So obviously we know MAC is a city and statewide asset. It's not just for those few MAC members that go there every day. It's all of us have a chance to go there and use it and meet there, and our kids can use it too. The development of Block 7, after all these years, brings change to our neighborhood. MAC and Mill Creek have met with the neighborhood many times about Block 7, and MAC and Mill Creek came up with the idea of the Great Million Dollar Tunnel, which will decrease neighborhood traffic and increase pedestrian safety. Being a good neighbor and citizen, I welcome the new neighbors just as I welcome the people into the Legends. And the proposed building is largely allowed under the current zoning. The extra MAC parking spaces that will be allowed be accessed by the tunnel will impact the neighborhood in a positive way, keeping cars and pedestrians off the neighborhood streets and into parking spots. I believe our new Block 7 neighbors will bring positive energy to our inner city neighborhood. I am thankful the proposed apartments have off-street parking. And hopefully the building will provide housing for MAC employees and members and will even make traffic situations better. For me, these new residents will use our local shops and our MAC stops and will enjoy our corner of Portland, which is so near Providence Park and it's so close to downtown that I think the building will fit in really nicely between the two commercial zones and the two residential buildings. So I urge you to support this.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Mayor, councilors, my name is Spencer Raymond. I was quoted earlier in the applicant's presentation. I live at 1105 Southwest 18th Avenue, about 250 feet from Block 7. I'm 27 years old, and I've lived there for almost 3 years. I'm a member of the MAC. I'm also a local business owner. I just signed a lease for a new tap room and bottle shop in the Civic Condo Tower on Southwest 19th and Burnside. I park on the street every day. I depend on street parking to come home, and sometimes I'm forced to walk a few blocks away just to find parking, just to come home. I think that adding more MAC parking will make it easier for everyone, including me, to find a place to park. Fewer MAC member cars will fill up our parking spaces with this new garage. There'll be fewer cars circling the neighborhood looking for parking during busy MAC events. I think the addition of the tunnel between the existing and the proposed garages is a good idea. The MAC didn't need to add this tunnel, but after talking to the neighbors, they did add it. The park that is Block 7 now is great. I take advantage of it. I use the level parking there to work on my car. And I'll miss the grass and the trees there. But I also accept that we live in downtown Portland in a really desirable neighborhood. a large apartment building on Block 7 is inevitable. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. It's a fact of living where we do, in Goose Hollow there. In my opinion, what the MAC is trying to do here is to make the new Block 7 the best it can be. By adding additional parking, which will benefit the whole neighborhood, and the short-stay units, which will benefit members like me and their guests, the MAC, I think, wants to take advantage of this opportunity to improve the club and improve the neighborhood. My opinion comes down to this. I wish that that block would never be developed, but there's going to be a building there someday no matter what. So why not approve the zone change so that the MAC may make it a better building? It'll bring in new neighbors who I hope everyone will welcome to the neighborhood. Things change. That's what happens, and that's what's great about living in the city. We get to witness firsthand the progress of Portland. We get to benefit from forward-thinking regional planning. And most of all, we get to see our neighborhood become a better place than when we moved in. Thank you, and I hope you vote to approve the zone change in question. Thanks.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Leslie Johnson. My roots in Close in Portland go back three generations. I grew up elsewhere, but I've been coming to this neighborhood since the 1960s with my family to visit First Methodist Church, to see games and concerts at the stadium, and to celebrate the holidays with meals with my grandparents at their favorite restaurant at the Mallory Hotel. In the 1970s, my first apartment was in the student housing at Southwest 16th and Clay. I'm basically my neighbor 30 years later. In the 1980s, I rented a home in the gully on the south side of Sunset, and since 2001, I have conducted my law practice from the last old wooden house-like structure in the area that's referred to as the Flats of Goose Hollow. Not my favorite term, but it's historic. I bet my experience has been repeated all over this neighborhood, as is evidenced by the person sitting next to me, and other close-in neighborhoods in Portland. And this project creates additional opportunity for people like me. It's the reason that these kinds of projects are planned for this part of the city. Although I'm appearing today as an individual and a Goose Hollow business owner, I'm nearing the end of my fourth year of service on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League Neighborhood Association. That service has been more challenging than I expected. This project in particular has been the inspiration for a lot of not very easy discussion over a whole bunch of meetings, and it's been sadly kind of polarizing in ways that I hope we'll be able to get over eventually. But I have had ample opportunity to observe the effort that the MAC and Mill Creek put into neighborhood outreach in anticipation of this project. Many of us saw the proposal to restrict access to the Block 7 MAC parking to an underground tunnel as an elegant and generous offer that came out of their interaction with the neighborhood. It's ironic that MAC is suffering negative consequences for being a generous steward of that property all this time by providing green space and parking as opposed to a weedy chain-link fenced kind of empty lot like many other neighborhoods in town would experience from a lot that stays vacant for as long as this had. You've heard many neighbors speak up about the value of additional off-street MAC parking, given that so many of the single-family homes in the neighborhood weren't built for off-street parking originally. Every time you add density, if you don't add some off-street parking, it's going to get worse, not better. In order to maintain and improve the livability, diversity, and vibrancy in Goose Hollow, we who are already there need to embrace and collaborate with perfectly legal private development that is consistent with the long-term vision for the neighborhood. The requested zoning change helps optimize the project that serves that vision. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next, please.
Next three are Andrew Jansky, Marlis Miller, and Darcy Henderson. And the last person who signed up is Peter F. Fry. We'll be after them.
Okay, Mr. Jansky, I think you're first, so go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Andrew Jansky. I'm a retired City of Portland Design Review Commissioner, and I spent 8 years and over 1,000 hours of seat time looking at decisions like this, and I'm still recovering.
Thank you for your service.
To me, the question is very simple. Should the goals of the city be achieved, or should we respond to the goals of a few? So that's kind of the frame of what I'm looking at it as. When I was on design commission, I was the neighbor at large, and I was charged with taking the neighborhood view into perspective, and I took it really seriously and spent a lot of time trying to weigh through these different concerns, and so I'm excited with this. When we had projects like this, a majority of the projects, we tried to encourage at least partial underground parking. That was always the discussion. How do we get this parking underground so we don't have it in the pedestrian realm staring us in the face? And it was really hard without, you can't force them to do it. And, you know, very few ever did put parking basically fully underground. So this project is actually a rare combination of meeting city goals, reducing public street impacts with a tunnel, reducing vehicle driveways, basically in and outs on building block, and minimizing impact on the development on the pedestrian realm. And the, fortunately, Mac won't like it, but there's at least probably two hearings at design review where this is going to get a full, in-depth hours of discussion about driveways and parking and how it's going to impact the public. And the Design Review Commission is really the forum to talk about all of these little impacts that make a big deal on the pedestrian realm that the neighbors are interested in. So, you know, as a past Design Review Commissioner and knowing that it's going to get a full public opportunity, I'd encourage you to vote yes on this.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity. We've been residents of Goose Hollow.
Yeah,
that would be useful, wouldn't it? Marlis Miller is my name. We've been residents of Goose Hollow for more than 25 years. We're members of the MAC, and we own a condo in Legends Condominiums. We chose Portland very deliberately because of its livability and the values that the city of Portland exhibits that really match the values we wanted as we moved here to create our family and create our lives together. We both work in Northwest Portland, and so choosing a place to live when we moved to Goose Hollow, it felt like home. We've had a number of homes, and we have recently landed in the Legends as we downsize, and we feel like we might have died and gone to heaven because we have parking for the first time in 25 years. And we still get excited every time we drive up to the parking garage, and it magically opens for us. Parking is such a huge issue in the neighborhood, and we walk most everywhere. So for us, it's been the observation of watching the growing parking over the years. And you've heard many comments, of course, here and throughout the city as you have run your campaigns and lived your lives. We chose Goose Hollow because of its residential character, because of the great schools, because of the access to transportation, all the values, again, that we wanted to exhibit and to teach to those in our lives as we move forward. It's a wonderful place to live, and we really support the rezoning for the reasons that you've heard and don't need to hear again from me. It is the right thing to do. I think that's the sub-motto of the city of Portland. And the project will enhance the existing quality and character of our neighborhood. It will provide the opportunity that we had as a young family who were renting and hoping to own a home someday to move to a great Portland neighborhood that's close to everything. You can walk to the library. You can do all the things that you want to do as a family. And one of our choices, one of our reasons as we looked to downsize was to stay in the neighborhood. Parking was a bonus, but really I think it was because my husband was sick of walking up that long Salmon Creek Hill up to the park, which was where we live. So, you know, there's great opportunities for families. There's great opportunities to live in Goose Hollow, and we've chosen that. And I hope that you will support this as the right thing to do for the neighborhood as we grow. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mayor Hales and City Council members, my name is Darcy Henderson. I am here today not only as a MAC member and the current president of the MAC, but also as a lifelong denizen of the neighborhood around the MAC. I remember when Providence Park was known as Multnomah Stadium. I attended plays at the Portland Civic Theater at 16th and Yamhill before it was raised to make way for a parking garage. My children attended preschool in the neighborhood and will attend Lincoln High School just as I did. My husband and I are frequent customers of the Goose and the Hoff. Over the years, I've also seen the MAC's consistent track record of community support, working with the GHFL and TriMet to bring light rail and the Kings Hill MAC station to our neighborhood, sponsoring annual neighborhood cleanups, and last year, organizing a team of club members to assist a neighbor with disabilities with house repairs that he was unable to do himself. The MAC has owned Block 7 for decades. Zoning prevents us from developing it strictly for club use. We have never asked for, nor are we asking today, to have it rezoned for exclusive MAC use. The eventual plan has been to sell the property or partner with a residential developer in order to build a large multifamily structure called for under the current zoning. For nearly 20 years, rather than fencing off the block from the neighborhood, we have landscaped and maintained this piece of private property, giving the neighbors the pleasure of using it. With increased traffic to the neighborhood due to a more active stadium, higher enrollment at Lincoln, new and thriving local businesses, and the desirability of urban residential living, parking in the neighborhood has become increasingly challenging for residents and MAC members alike. The rezoning proposal before you today simply allows for MAC members to park underneath a multifamily building with residential parking, and it does so with a tunnel that reduces congestion and increases safety for everyone. This change will address the neighborhood parking issue while preserving the city's planning goal to have dense residential development on Block 7. I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you all. One more, I think.
One more. Peter F. Fry.
And then I'll do that and get my car and meet Sonia.
Peter Finley Fry. I guess I got to be last. I did work for the MAC Club when this process started, but about 6 months, I had a change of personal change circumstance, and also I became redundant, so I laid them off, and so I don't work for them now. I'm also not a member of the MAC Club. My office has been in Goose Hollow for over 20 years, just up the street from the MAC Club. I very much support this project. The neighborhood is a rich mixture of uses and building types with very tall buildings and Victorian houses. It is the only neighborhood outside of the downtown area that has three light rail stations. I can walk and often do to Washington Park from my office. Addition of parking and short-term housing will enrich the neighborhood by reducing the parking impact and bringing visitors to our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no one else that wants to speak in favor of the application, we'll move to the presentation by the principal opponent. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Jennifer Brager. I'm an attorney at Garvey Schubert Bear, and I represent the Friends of Goose Hollow and Harvey Black, who are opposed to this application. My comments are supported by the materials Friends has submitted to date and the information I submit today. Friends have raised numerous issues that we believe are still unanswered by the hearings officer's recommendation. My discussion today will focus on three major shortcomings: the ongoing applicability of the MAC master plan, the flawed analysis of the comprehensive plan goals and policies, and the inadequacy of the traffic study. Since 1981, the MAC master plan directed that Block 7 develop consistent with its RH zoning. Large-scale parking of the kind currently contemplated for Block 7 was prohibited. These concepts are memorialized in the current 1993 MAC master plan, which governs the way the property will be developed. The record contains numerous letters from the applicant's legal counsel and other MAC representatives that the MAC would abide by the master plan for development of Block 7. Now, conveniently, the MAC claims the master plan no longer applies. Instead of keeping their word to the neighborhood, the applicants and the hearings officer rely on a 1995 land use decision to conclude that the MAC master plan imposed by the previous condition of approval no longer applies. The review concluded that Portland City Code 33700110 justifies this conclusion. That code section describes that in limited circumstances, conditions of approval will no longer apply to an earlier city approval. However, the code section does not include any reference to a master plan requirement. The applicants would have you rely on an irrelevant code section to determine the operability of the adopted master plan. Consider the following analogous back pattern to illustrate the point. A property owner obtains a conditional use of approval. The city imposes a condition that the property owner must dedicate 15 feet of right-of-way to the city for the construction of an arterial. A year or two later, the development is complete, including construction of the arterial utilizing the dedicated right-of-way. Thus, the condition is satisfied. In year three, the property owner obtains a zone change, and the conditional use is now a permitted use. The property owner asks the city to reconvey the right-of-way back because the reason for the condition imposed as part of the conditional use no longer applies. Following the MAC logic, the property owner in the above example would be able to reclaim the 15 feet of right-of-way. But that outcome is as absurd as MAC's claim that a zone change in 1995 has any impact on an adopted master plan that applies to an array of MAC properties. The master plan still applies to limit the use of Block 7 to those permissible uses allowed under the RH zone designation. Next, I want to discuss the comprehensive plan policies and goal analysis done for the comprehensive plan amendment and zone change. A comprehensive plan map amendment and zone change is reviewed under the city's criteria that requires that the designation proposed be evaluated against relevant comprehensive plan policies and on balance has been found to be equally or more supportive of the comprehensive plan as a whole than the old designation. The hearings officer's recommendation summarily determines that acknowledgement of the city's zoning code Title 33 justifies his narrow review of the comprehensive plan amendment and zone change application to treat the RH zoning's allowance of housing as a background condition. Friends, are unclear what the hearings officer meant by acknowledgement of the zoning code, as the criteria for comprehensive plan amendments and zone changes described remains unchanged regardless of whether the zoning code is acknowledged. The hearings officer recommendation treats the allowed housing as a background condition, and as such, the hearings officer was predisposed to favor the proposed development when he reviewed the application against the on-balance test in considering whether the requested zoning designation is equally or more supportive of the comprehensive plan than the old designation. This is impermissible. The restrictions and protections of the residential zone designation favoring housing that matches the existing neighborhood were given a backseat to the applicant's development proposal to mix commercial parking and motel uses onto the site. While balancing the current versus the proposed zoning designation is permissible and required by the code, the balancing cannot be done until the playing field is leveled. The City Council should not fall into the same trap as the hearings officer, and this application ought to be compared in its entirety to the uses available under the current zoning designation, including the mix of conditional use commercial and housing development required under the MAC master plan. From there, the impacts of the proposal should be examined to their full extent. Last, I want to touch on traffic impacts of the proposal. The applicants must show that the requested zone change is consistent with the statewide land use planning goals, including Goal 12, governing transportation impacts. Friends have asked for information that would provide a complete picture of the traffic impacts of the proposal on the surrounding neighborhood. The MAC has silently stood by its March 2014 traffic impact analysis, or TIA, which is Exhibit 14 to the hearings officer's decision, claiming that information is adequate to support the proposal. But luckily for surrounding neighbors, adequate traffic analysis is required before the City Council can make a decision. The MAC never provided information about its assumptions in the TIA. The applicants treat the apartment and motel units as background. However, the motel units, along with the MAC parking, are the trigger for the zone change and cannot be included as background. The TIA must be revised to account for the new uses, even if those same uses are currently allowed without the zone change. There are intersections that are currently failing, such as Southwest 20th and Southwest Jefferson. That intersection operates at a level of service F. Significantly, the applicants lump the proposed motel units as background residential trips. The public has no way of knowing whether the new trips from the motel units will cause greater impacts to Southwest 20th and Southwest Jefferson and other intersections that may be only a few trips away from failure. The applicant's TIA failed to provide information related to its analysis of peak conditions at the main MAC parking garage and failed to analyze operational analysis for peak conditions in relation to use of the MAC secondary lots. And this is explained in Kittleson's May 30th memo at page 3. This incomplete analysis and lack of information prevented Friends Traffic Consultant from completing their review and comment on the traffic study. The MAC repeatedly describes, and did so again today, that it needs 1,060 parking stalls, but never provides the methodology they use to develop those numbers or to show how they made the calculations. This information is integral to allow the public a full review and opportunity to comment on the accuracy of the estimate and the adequacy of the applicant's TIA. It's fine to point us to the table, but without knowing how they're describing their uses, we can't understand what they're trying to claim. In a letter submitted by the MAC's attorney on June 6, 2014, the applicants state that MAC member surveys identified limited parking as the number one member concern with MAC services. That report is strong acknowledgement that MAC is a service use of land. For example, people use the MAC facility for fitness, events, food, and entertainment, and as such, its trip generation is directly tied to the quality of service it provides, not the square footage of its building or the number of employees. If the MAC increases the number of parking stalls, it stands to reason that users will be happier and use more of the parking. Yet the applicants are saying that MAC members will not use more parking once the 225 commercial parking spaces are made available. The logic is flawed, and any reliance by the hearings officer that MAC's membership will not increase, a statement not bound by a condition of approval, is misplaced. The hearings officer's recommendation relies on vague assertions that additional off-street parking for MAC members is likely to reduce to some degree the number of circulating vehicles at peak usage periods. However, as a result of more parking availability, members that would otherwise not drive will now opt to drive. Friends continues to contend that increases in off-street parking for MAC members will only increase the number of trips. The MAC never provided information about the extent of special events held at its facilities and the impact on traffic and parking demand. These uses exceed a sports club use and allow the MAC to behave like a convention center, where the city has never conditioned the number of events to alleviate traffic and parking impacts on the neighborhood. Friends previously raised concerns about the improper deferral of Central City Parking Review in connection with this application. The concern is belied by the applicant's treatment of Criteria H in the Central City Transportation Management Plan and the applicant's conclusory remark that the criterion does not apply. Criterion H governs the analysis of visitor parking. All MAC members, as well as the special events attendees, should be construed as visitors under the Transportation Management Plan. The applicant's TIA concludes that approval criterion H governing visitor parking is not applicable, but that conclusion is an error because all the people who use the MAC are visitors. The Central City Parking Review should be completed with this application, and the TIA should be updated to reflect that analysis. A conditioned zone change that the applicants claim to limit to a particular use should not be allowed if the Transportation Management Plan's criterion H cannot be met. Without the information just described, it is impossible for the City Council to make a decision that the applicants have met Goal 12 or the traffic-related goals and policies of the comprehensive plan. The decision you make today affects not only the fate of Goose Hollow, but the fate of land use decision-making and the public trust in neighborhood negotiations. The applicant's behavior of picking and choosing which rules to apply and when must stop. As discussed, the applicants are subject to a master plan that prohibits rezoning of Block 7. The proper procedure for the MAC is to amend its master plan, provide adequate analysis of the full impacts of its proposal, and accept that the commercial parking expansion has not been justified under their TIA. It is time for the City Council to send the applicants back to the drawing board because there is not enough information to support a comprehensive plan map amendment and zone change. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
I have a couple questions, and you've raised a lot of issues, and it already feels like it's been a long day. So I don't think I can do justice to all of them, but I have a couple of questions. When Mr. Janik, Council, when Mr. Janik presented, I asked him to compare for me what his view was of what could be done as of right, and then the difference with what he's requesting. And it'd be helpful for me if you just walk me through again, under the current RH, subject to the master plan, what your view is of what they can do as a right.
They proposed a couple of alternatives. One is residential, and one is residential with commercial uses that are allowed as conditional uses. But under the city's code, there is a whole table of uses that are permitted in the RH zone that the applicants could apply for. The idea that you're just limited to this housing to compare apples to apples is not the only option available to a property owner under the current zone.
But just, I appreciate that, but just there's a lot of complexity here, and I'm just trying to, I'm trying to simplify it a little bit, and we've got two distinguished law firms going at it, and I'm trying to find something that I can grab my hands around. So. So, with the current zoning and subject to the master plan, how much of what they're currently planning could they build?
They could build the housing, and they may apply for a conditional use to allow for the motel units. But according to the city staff, that use is not actually conditional use. It's subject, it needs to have the CX zoning because it's a commercial use. Mm-hmm. I can certainly review the code and provide you with more examples. It sounds like this hearing may be continued, as Mayor Hales stated earlier.
And particularly given how many people are still here and like to testify.
That's the likeliest.
So I'd be happy
scenarios.
To provide more written feedback to that question. But I think that what you have is a master plan that explicitly states that the applicant can have housing and conditional use retail under the current zoning, which may or may not include any of the parts of what the applicant has.
Okay. What's excluded from that list, in your opinion, is, of course, the parking, additional parking.
Yeah.
The other question I was going to ask you is, toward the end of your presentation, you said that they're bound by the master plan and they can't go through this process to get around it. And we get a chance to have staff come later, and that may be a future council meeting. Do you have specific authority for that proposition? Because it seems almost like you're saying that this is a legally illegitimate procedure to get what they're seeking. And if your argument hinges substantially on that point, I'd be interested in knowing what the legal authority is and be able to come back to our team and ask them to tell us how they view that.
I've submitted previous testimony related to this matter. There's a LUBA case related to the city's interpretation of conditional use master plans, and under that authority, the city has the master plan in place while conditional uses are still contemplated. And I would suggest that the Block 7 development is subject to the conditional use, as well as other properties that are covered by the MAC master plan that could also be developed with conditional uses.
And I'm probably going to want to make sure that our attorneys know, you know, what you're referring to, so we can get some follow-up materials from them. But thank you.
Let me restate, if I can, the question in a slightly different way, and that is, you made what is largely a procedural argument against why the parking, the MAC club parking, is not allowed. But there are general substantive criteria that apply as well and that have been referenced in testimony, things like the livability of the neighborhood and the safety of pedestrians. Do you have a substantive critique of the allowing, if this were approved, and the parking under the scenario as proposed, accessed by a tunnel through the existing facility? Do you hold that that will be deleterious to neighborhood livability and pedestrian safety to have the additional parking?
I believe so, and I think you'll hear from many, many opponents to this project about substantive nature of why the comprehensive plan policies and goals have not been met, and why this proposal doesn't align with what the neighborhood needs or match the current zoning and surrounding zoning of the properties.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the clarity of your testimony. If you could please send us what you just
said. Yeah, I have it recording.
That's, and anything else that you feel is particularly pertinent, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of exhibits in the record. If you could send us the ones that most clearly speak to your arguments, that would be very helpful to me. In particular, I note on page 13 of the hearings officer's recommendation that the BDS staff comment that the applicant submitted a memo, which is exhibit A9, that explains why the 1992 master plan lost its status. I would be very interested to hear your comments on that. And also looking at, and this is more directed to staff, getting the copy of that 91-00742 conditional use, and also very interested to know why the hearings officer in 1995 denied a request to reconsider and clarify the status of the MAC master plan. Because I think you make a good point that that is a relevant issue in considering whether to approve this request as to how much that has standing and how much it doesn't. So thank you very much.
All right.
Other questions? Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's take up individuals who are here in support of the appeal.
The
opposition to the proposal, sorry. Not an appeal.
Okay, thank you. We have 32 total signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Tom Milne, Tracy Prince, and Susie Yoni. And they will be followed by, with a special request for Daniel Solomon, Connie Kirk, and we'll take Cal Toth after.
Okay, great. Thank you. Welcome. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Tom Milne. I reside at 1132 Southwest 19th, number 708. That's the Legends. I'm a member of the Board of Directors of Friends of Goose Hollow. That's a group that, with over 300 area residents, opposes this rezone for a variety of reasons. And today you'll hear from a number of those members of the Friends and supporters of the Friends who oppose this rezone on a number of, from a number of perspectives. Some of the folks will address MAC's unkept promises and how those imply or relate to this request, concerns with traffic and parking that we just heard some information about, poor consideration of resident input, and concern about the impact on the neighborhood environment. First, let me say we are not opposed to development on this block. Many of us would love to see a well-designed project that fits with the neighborhood and complies with the MAC master plan, as was first negotiated with the neighborhood in 1983. Unfortunately, our history with the MAC is rife with unkept promises. Among several that we could cite, I'll mention two. First, the MAC negotiated with the neighborhood and the city in 1983 leading to approval of the Mack parking garage and the master plan. But the city had to threaten to tear the parking garage down in order to get Mack to comply with the commitments it made in the master plan. Secondly, the master plan is now being ignored, as you've just heard. The master plan states that the plan will, quote, remain in effect until the development allowed by the plan has been completed, or the plan no longer applies as a conditional use, or is amended or superseded, close quote. The plan identifies that Block 7 would be developed with RH zoning. In the mid-1990s, the Mack sought support of the neighborhood to rezone their clubhouse and their parking garage from non-conforming uses in an RH zone to CX. At least four Mack officials stated then that the Mack remained committed to develop Block 7 within the RH requirements. The then president of Mack stated in a letter to the Planning Bureau, quote, it is not the club's intention to discontinue the master plan with a zone change, close quote. Mack Council Mr. Stephen Janik assured in a letter to the Planning Bureau, quote, the master plan is a separate land use decision that continues to apply to all properties discussed in the master plan until the master plan terminates, which will be when all of the development allowed by the master plan is completed. Now the MAC says the plan no longer applies. It's obvious that the MAC's request of support from the neighborhood for rezoning of the clubhouse and the garage was a disingenuous strategy to, in their view, eradicate or extricate the club from the provisions of the master plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome. I'm Dr. Tracy Prince, a Goose Hollow resident, MAC member, scholar in residence at PSU's Portland Center for Public Humanities, and author of a book on the history of Goose Hollow. Apparently, I speak to you today at great professional risk, since after I wrote an op-ed against rezoning Block 7, Norm Rich had my book pulled from the Mack gift shop in retaliation. Frankly, this kind of bullying has been typical Mack behavior in Goose Hollow for over a century. The Mack attorney sent you a letter about alleged community outreach. The reality is, after months of meetings where Norm Rich heard rooms full of people objecting to a zone change, he pitched a fit that neighbors are still talking about, and he threatened attendees, telling them that he could outvote them by getting many of his 20,000 MAC members to register as GHFL members. He then spent months using the MAC magazine, which you have a copy of in your hands, emails, and mailings to MAC members trying to convince them to join GHFL and vote to, quote, help the neighborhood with this zone change. He was not successful in his effort to stack the deck. But he was very successful at infuriating Goose Hollow residents with his threats. We formed Friends of Goose Hollow and plan to fight the MAC on this for years if we have to. For a century, the MAC has bought up over 40 homes in Goose Hollow, only to demolish them to use the land for parking. You have pictures of that in your hands. In 1981, four MAC representatives testified to City Council for a zone change to build the current parking structure in an RH zone where houses once stood. They were questioned repeatedly by the mayor and Commissioner Lindbergh, who expressed strong suspicions that they would also seek to change RH zoning on Blocks 7 and 2. MAC representatives assured City Council that they would not. Commissioners made it clear that the zone change was only approved because of these assurances and said that they did not want to see the MAC asking for another zone change, yet here they are asking for one. The MAC's 100-year effort to turn a residential neighborhood into its commercial space has taken a grave toll on Goose Hollow, and this behavior should be stopped. And the MAC has done little to disincentivize car use. Members receive 5 free parking stickers per person with no incentive to bike or walk and little incentive to take public transit. I've offered to help connect the MAC with PSU classes specializing in parking management. I was rejected by Mr. Rich, who said, quote, that wouldn't work for MAC members, unquote. The MAC is the only Portland institution wealthy enough to build its way out of a perceived parking problem rather than develop a parking management plan. On page 7 of the hearings report, you will see that the hearings officer was misled in the report. He was told that 70% of MAC members say that there's a parking problem. In reality, 2 MAC surveys have said 70% of MAC members say there is not a problem. You have a copy of that in your hands. The zone change should be rejected. The MAC has done almost nothing to manage its current parking, has engaged in bullying rather than neighborhood involvement, and should be forced to honor its word.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Susan Uni. I live in Goose Hollow. I've lived there for 25 years, and I own my current home for the past 16 years. I live in Arbor Vista. I'm a lifelong member of the MAC and use the facilities frequently. I love the MAC, but I think they're not honoring the promises made to the neighborhood in the mid-90s. I'm going to talk to you about the GHFL sanctioned Block 7 committee report and the lack of follow-through on the promises by the MAC to the city to provide regular updates and progress on managing parking demand. Copies of the GFL Block 7 report I have for you. In the report, you'll find that the Block 7 Planning Committee found that the proposed commercial rezone of Block 7 undermines numerous applicable comprehensive plan goals and policies, in particular Goal 6, transportation, Goal 3, neighborhoods, Goal 5, economic development, and Goal 8, the environment. We respectfully disagree with the hearings officer's analysis. I'm going to do a little freelancing here, but I want to go back to the parking demand. When Steve Janik gave a list of the current things, practices that the MAC is using to help with the parking demand, which was one of the promises they made in the 90s, was to really have regular reports on the parking demand efforts that they're following through on. But they don't really. I noticed that all of the measures that he referred to were to mostly employees of the MAC and not at all to the members of the MAC, which are the biggest users of the MAC garage, which is the facility that's in question. So I was going to go through a list of parking demand management schemes that I think they could employ, including establishing a time limit of 3 hours for people parking in the club facility and enforce it. Establish parking fees that are competitive with mass transit to encourage use of transit. Limiting the number of parking permits to one or two per member. Monitoring parking policy violations and levying meaningful penalties. They do have a policy that if you are parked in the facility's garages, you have to be in the clubhouse. That policy is consistently overlooked. And I think that they could do quite a bit to enforce their current policies before they need more parking. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next three.
Next three are Cal Toth, and we'll go with Carl Rear, Marge Sandy, and then they'll be followed by Jeff Malquist, Norm Zeller, and Elizabeth Paris.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. So my name is Cal Toth. I'm Live at Legends, directly across from the block. I am submitting and supporting written testimony here to support everything I'm saying here, as well as I'm going to submit this summary of what I'm saying right now. Please know that I am a 10-year member of the MAC, a retired professor from Portland State University, and a professional engineer with experience with air traffic control, queuing analysis, and queuing simulations. I am a member of the GHFL board. I am not representing the GHFL today. I am speaking as a Goose Hollow resident and an ordinary MAC member. I have serious concerns about the applicant's zone change proposal. I'm opposed to it because it breaks with the MAC promises that were mentioned earlier. I believe that BDS staff and the hearings officer were hamstrung by unsupported assertions and ambiguous reasoning of the applicant, especially as it relates to the critical area of Goal 6 transportation, namely parking and traffic. The applicant raised many more questions than it answered. I'm going to raise those questions. Does the MAC actually need an additional 225 parking spaces? The MAC member survey that was mentioned says that 70% of members are satisfied. If I was running for office, I'd say 70% satisfaction level was pretty darn good. So why build
it's not
more
good
parking?
Mr. Fish.
If, pardon me?
Never mind.
Can I get another 10 seconds? Okay.
Started you over.
Okay. Oh, did I? Oh, did I get it? Okay. Is the MAC actually entitled to 225 parking spaces, as Mr. Janik incorrectly said? Title 33 says MAC